You'd think they'd be easy to catch, but this one knew something was up. He had these little juke moves. It was almost as if he didn't want to be slaughtered. I was in a restaurant once. The catch of the day was escargot. I saw this guy back in the kitchen. It's a fancy restaurant. I like fancy restaurants because no matter what you order, they compliment your choice. You get to feel good about yourself for a moment.
What are you going to be dining on this evening, sir?
I was going to have a hamburger.
Excellent choice.
Well, buckle up, because I'm not finished. Dinner party, man. I'm trying to go to more parties. I'm not good at them. Not good at talking to people. Which might sound weird in this setting. I can handle this for some reason, but parties aren't set up like this. I don't show up at parties and people go, "All right, we'll all get over here and you get over there." Parties, people are all around you. What are you doing back there? What are you up to? What's your quest? Plus, with a small group, I never know when a conversation's over. You know? When is it okay to walk away from people? Is he still talking back there? Is he making any more sense than when he started? Give you an idea how awkward I am at parties. This is a true story. I'm at one, and there's a guy there whose name I should know, but I don't know it. But I keep thinking it's Winston. You know, which is not the kind of name you want to gamble at. It's a big roll of the dice. Hey, Winston! It's Beauregard! All right, see y'all later. Tell Winston I said hi, if he ever shows up. So this is true. I grabbed another friend of mine at the party, and I said, "I have a weird assignment for you. I want you to, just for a second, pretend like your name is Winston. All right, you see that guy there? I want you to walk to the other side of that guy, but in a straight line past him. So I'm just looking in one direction, and then I'm going to go, "Hey, Winston!" And if the guy in the middle goes, "Yeah?" then you just walk away. Your assignment is complete at that point. But if the guy in the middle looks like he's confused, I need you to go, "Yeah?" And then I'll talk to you again, I guess. I didn't plan that far ahead. So my friend thinks I'm twisty, and he's like, "All right, let's do this." He walks to the other side of the guy, so I go, hey, Winston! And the guy in the middle looks like he's confused. So I look at my friend and he says, "My name's Winston." Yeah, terrific. I was looking for any random Winston. Your name's Winston? Come on over. Let's have a chat. I'm in the mood to talk to a Winston. In a little while, I'll be wanting to speak with a Gwendolyn. If that's your name, get ready. I'll be making the announcement shortly. I had one line and he blew it. His line was, yeah. That's all he had to yellow highlight. So I'm at this party and I'm trying to mingle around, you know. Whatever happened to handshakes? Didn't those work okay? This guy walks up to me and he's like, huh? 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 I'm like, I don't know how to participate in your bizarre greeting ritual. And then I realize, oh, he's shadow boxing. He's showing me something important from his world. So I realize, well, I should probably reply in kind. So I did some shadow polo. A slow-moving horse. That's the world we're in. You got to think on your feet during greetings, you know? Another guy walked up and just said, Holmes. So I said, elementary, my dear Watson. I thought, hey, people are coming up to me to say hi. You know, maybe I should go up and say hello to somebody. And I thought, well, obviously handshakes are old school. Nobody's doing that. So what should I do? I thought, oh, I'll chest bump somebody. So I was in midair. And I don't think this lady realized. I'm simply coming over to say hello. I got too much lift. She didn't jump at all. My shins hit her shoulders. I'm flipping. I crashed through the stained glass window. You can't make this stuff up! I was trying to court her. So I court the ladies. I leapfrog unilaterally over the front of them, and I let my shins clip their shoulders, and then I flip. They don't know what to do. They're like, oh. Their hearts all a flutter. Oh. I hear them. Back in that world, man. Went through a breakup. People say, what happened? What led to the breakup? Was it a big thing? I don't know. Depends how you look at it. We couldn't agree on the definition of this exit and next exit. I was driving. So she said, okay, get off at the next exit. So I pulled off. Why did you get off here? I just told you to get off at the next exit. I thought we could get off here and buy a dictionary. Get through it. Look at words and definitions and such. It's fun to find out word meanings. So I dropped her off at the next exit. Am I understanding it correctly? You ever have a friend use a word that's so awkward you consider dropping them as a friend? Like cinema? We had this couple over. They kept using that word like it was a normal word for people to use. My wife and I like to attend the cinema. We went to the cinema Friday evening, and we usually attend the cinema a couple times a month. Do you enjoy the cinema? Can you get out of my house? Because we's all going to the movies. Another word like that is cat's up. That word is dangling from a thread. I had these distant relatives over. My kids were with me, and someone said, "Would someone please pass the cat's up?" It was a showstopper. I had to huddle up with my kids. "He means ketchup. Pass that." "Don't worry, you're never gonna have to see them again. You're not allowed to hear those words in this house." Some words only some people are allowed to use. Other people aren't allowed to use certain words, like mansion. The only people who are allowed to use that word are people who don't live inside one. It always has to be about someone else's house. "Have you seen where they live? They live in a mansion." People in it are disqualified from ever calling it that. No one's ever allowed to say, "Well, things seem to be winding down here at the restaurant." "I have an idea. Why don't we all head back to my mansion?" "You won't need directions. You'll see it. It looks down upon all your homes." I think people have delusions of grandeur about their own homes. What in the hell is an infinity-edged pool? Are people trying to fool their house guests? "Why, Harry, why, where does your pool end?" "Well, for all you know, it never ends." We had house guests last week. One went swimming laps. We ain't seen him since. He's stuck somewhere out in the middle of infinity. For an infinity-edged pool to work, don't you have to live on the ocean? Or maybe a lake so it blends in. Otherwise, it's like, "Man, your pool looks like it goes right into that chain link fence." I was on a swim team as a kid. Got a sixth place ribbon one meet. I like sports. I like when a sport ends with a best of seven series, you know? Then I get to hear my favorite sports reporter question. "Would you consider this a must-win game?" Now, they always feel like they have to say yes. "Yeah, we want to win it. It's very important, you know, have momentum and, you know, we have our uniforms on anyway. Might as well try."
They turn all these lights on. Might as well put some effort into this. But it's not always the right answer, man. It's a math question. I wish I would answer that honestly. It's a best of seven. You're down one game to nothing. Would you consider this a must-win game? No. No, we can lose tonight. We can lose tomorrow night, too. We don't want to, but that wasn't your question. You asked if it was a must-win game, and if you'd ever taken a rudimentary math class, you'd already know the magic number's three. When you're down three, then you must win them or you're out. I also don't like... Hey! I also don't like when they force answers on players.
Are you dedicating this game to your dying grandmother?
Well, I guess now I am. I didn't even know she was sick. The winning team always gives the losing team a lot of credit.
You got to give them a lot of credit. They came to play. They got a good team over there. They should hold their heads up high. If we weren't perfect, I don't know if we would have won this game. They got a good squad and a good system. You got to give them a lot of credit.
I wonder if that news ever gets to the losers' locker room.
Great news, fellas. I just came from the winner's locker room. I am not making this up. They are giving you a lot of credit. I was just there. I got here as quickly as I could. But it was hard with the balloons and the confetti. And all the champagne in my eyes, I was bouncing off walls. You're getting a lot of credit for their championship. And they're inviting all of you to come over and kiss their rings. I'd like to own a second NBA team in Miami, Florida. I'm from there. The only reason I'd like to do it is to do the press conferences. When they say, well, what's the name of your team? And I would say, well, it's not the heat. It's the humidity. And then I would sell the team right after the press conference and be talked about for several days. Being from Miami, I don't know a lot about winter sports, but I was watching women's curling one night. I turned it on late, so I missed the explanation as to what they were trying to accomplish, but I think I picked that up from watching. There's one woman, she skates really slowly. And she's holding onto that weird round rock with a handle on it. And she has a look in her eyes. I'm not sure, but I think if a bird flew in front, it would burst in flames. It's the most intent glare a human being is capable of conjuring up. So she skates for a while, then she does this with her hand. And then eight women scream at the top of their lungs for 2 minutes straight. Go to the left! Go to the left! Take it to the left! Go to the left! Go to the left!
quite relaxing. It's sort of like watching The View. I like The View. I like the women on The View. I just want to hear them one at a time. It's hard to pierce through the cacophony. All right, guys, you're great. We're going to take a couple-second break here. Very nice. Okay, we're back. That didn't seem like 4 minutes. You guys are wonderful, man. Talking about TV. I watch weird shows, man. There's one I'm trying to understand. It's about moonshiners. This reality show. I don't get it. There's a guy hiding out in the woods trying to make moonshine. I don't understand the premise. Liquor is legal. What's he doing hiding behind trees? Don't tell anybody I'm out here. Why are you out here? I'm making moonshine. You want some? No, I can get Jack Daniels over at the liquor store. It's legal. Has been for a while. Come out of the woods and read a newspaper. Of course, our TVs are now filled up with election stuff. I don't know why anyone would ever want to be the president of the United States. I wouldn't want that job in a million years. Can you imagine being awakened every morning like this? Problems. All kinds of problems. But people are seeking it out. People I've never seen before. Behind podiums. And the very first thing they say, I'm already confused. I'm forming a presidential exploratory committee. Oh, are you? What the hell is that? Is that committee going to come back with information that guy wasn't aware of? Okay. Here's what we found out. It's a 4-year job. Four year? Yeah. And you gotta be in charge of everything. Well, I don't want to do that. It's a good thing you sent us out first. We met Lewis and Clark out on our expedition. Speaking of important jobs, we had the Pope here in town, of course, right? You know who I'm curious about? The previous Pope, who just quit. That's kind of weird. I wonder what he's doing. Is he trying to get another job? That'd be an interesting resume. You know, he hands it to the guy and he's like, you tell him we're not hiring. And the Pope, prior to that Pope, they're making a saint. So I was reading about sainthood to see what the requirements are, you know, see if I'm on the right track.
One of the requirements is you have to perform two miracles. I can sort of do that thing where you put your two index fingers together and then you look off in the distance and you can see like a floating sausage. You have to relax your eyes. Relax your eyes. Okay, so that's one. And then I hit him with my rubber pencil illusion. Well, doesn't that look like it's made out of rubber? I've had some weird jobs, man. My first job ever was a dishwasher at the International House of Pancakes. It's a true story. I was like 14 years old. After 3 months, the owner took me aside and said, I'm promoting you today to busboy. And he said to me, please don't talk to any of the customers. I don't know what I sounded like in the dish room that he felt he had to protect his customers from, but he was adamant. He said, I've heard the kind of things your brain comes up with. Please, just let these people enjoy their pancakes. So I said, okay. I bust my very first table. I was walking back to the dish room, and I passed a woman sitting by herself eating a salad. It was lunchtime. And as I was walking by, she said, excuse me, well, what am I supposed to do now? I'm not allowed to talk to anybody! I thought, she's stopping me, I better stop, you know? So I put my tray down on another table and I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, there is a hair in this salad. Now, I'm from a family of 8 kids. A hair in a salad don't stop nobody. It's like trivia. Hey, there's a hair. Hey, look, there's a bug. Keep chowing. You don't know when the next food's coming. So I know this sounds ridiculous, but I had no idea why she was even telling me this. So I was like, ah, okay. So I thought I'd be funny. And I said, well, there are no prizes or anything. Go get the owner. So now I had to go get the owner who just 5 minutes ago told me not to talk to anybody. And I had to say, I was just talking to this woman. And she's kind of upset and she wants to talk to you. He's looking at me like, how is this even humanly possible? We walk out to her table, and she says, I just told this young man that there was a hair in my salad, and he told me that there are no prizes or anything. So he looks at me. And he looks at her, and he said, he's right, there are no prizes or anything. The best boss in the history of bosses. The length some people go through to not work amazes me. I also worked in a toy store, putting together bicycles. And my coworker came up to me one day and he said, I found a place where we can go hide where we don't have to put together bicycles. Well,
what's going to happen later when no bicycles are put together. He's like, I don't know, we'll figure that out later. So I said, okay. So I followed him. There's a rack of bikes in the back of that toy store, and behind that was a wall, and we're walking behind, between the bikes and the wall. Gets worse. It's a hole in the drywall in the wall, and he crawls into the hole and says, follow me, you know. So like Alice in Wonderland, so he starts shimmying that way, and I'm following him. We get about 8 feet in, and we're both just standing there. And he says, beach working, huh? It's kind of a toss-up. So I do this now. Crawled out of the hole, became a stand-up. You know, there's another Brian Regan in show business. It's a true story. He's a screenwriter, and he's really good. He wrote 102 Dalmatians and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and all these other good movies. But I didn't know about him. I was out on the road, and these people said, you want to do a local TV interview? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. They say, we want to do it out in front of the movie theater. I'm like, okay. Wherever you want to do it. Yeah, we want to have the 102 Dalmatians logo behind us during the interview. Okay. Does that look good on camera or something? So we're sitting in the little wooden chairs, and he goes, so tell me about the movie 102 Dalmatians. You know, that's a lot of dogs jumping around. You know it's going to be fun. How will 102 Dalmatians be different from 101 Dalmatians? I'm not a math expert. I'm going to guess 3 dogs. I'm behind on my movies. I just saw that the latest Godzilla. The guy who's doing the voice for Godzilla, man, that guy's on his game. I was wondering when he was learning his lines, like if he would run lines with his wife or girlfriend, you know. Hey, honey, I got the Godzilla part. Yeah, I got it. Hey, would you practice lines with me? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, no. Here comes the scary monster. I did a little voiceover work. If you're interested in voiceover work, here's how it happens. You get a voiceover agent. He sends you out on an audition. You do the audition. You wait a few days, and he calls you to tell you they gave it to Morgan Freeman. So, getting back to the presidential stuff. We need somebody to get the economy going, man. I don't know what happened with it. The mortgage meltdown? I don't know how that happened. But I have a friend who knows. I have a friend who works in the grocery store and the produce department. And when he's stacking melons, he solves financial crises and shares his solutions with us. So he came up to me one day, "Brian, you want me to tell you how the mortgage meltdown happened? Would ya? Would you explain it at me?" I'd be happy to. Here, sit in your booster seat. Okay, you have a mortgage, right? Right. You pay your mortgage at the bank, right? Right. They bundle those with other risky securities and sell those to speculators, right? Do I still get a lollipop? I feel like someone's explaining a magic trick to me. I put your quarter in my hand, right? Right. And I close it, right? Right. It's gone. You understand? So I ain't got a quarter no more? Exactly. Hey, is there a cash register left? Just one where you can buy something and immediately walk out the door without dealing with this whole thing? Do you have a rewards card? No. And I'm begging you that this be the end of this conversation. I have money which says legal tender on it, and I have the amount it says on that tag. If I could just give you the money and you release the item, we could do it simultaneously if you need, Indiana Jones style, because I can see the door. I'm so close. Sunlight streaming in. I'm hearing birds chirping. Please release me back into a world of joy. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm required to turn this into a hostage situation. Tell you about our rewards card program. You're going to love listening to every word of this. First of all, it's very easy to get one. I pull a clipboard out from under the counter while people wait in line behind us. And I get so much information from you, your brain will quiver and quake. I'm going to get your home address, your work information, home number, work number, cell number, primary email address, and a secondary email address. Make sure you fill out the secondary email address portion of the application in case we send out an email blast for 5 cents off on one of our items. If that gets bounced back from the primary, if you filled out the secondary, basically it's for your protection. So you're not missing out on these life-altering financial opportunities. And if you join today, get 10% off your initial purchase and 5% off each subsequent, all your future purchases. Do you have a full price card where people pay full price? They walk out the door and they get to watch their children grow up. I want to be with them.
I want to watch my kids play soccer. I don't want to stand next to cash registers saving hypothetical nickels for the rest of my life. It's a marketing thing. There's a lot of marketing things that work. I don't know why they work, you know? The free DVD. People still respond to this.
And if you act now, it comes with a free DVD.
Oh. Has anyone ever wanted to watch any of these? You ever been over to somebody's house?
You want to watch a DVD?
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, what do you have?
I got reverse mortgages.
No, I can't do that. Do you have any other DVDs?
I got How to Grow Tomatoes Upside Down.
No, I've already seen that one. Do you have any mysteries, you know? Anything with a surprise ending?
I got the retractable awning. This one, it starts. They're all out in the sweltering sun. And, well, I don't want to give it away.
I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand dancing. I don't know who thought of it or why. What two people were standing across from each other?
So should we just stand here like this or or should we stand here like this?
Can you run both options past me again? Weighing the pros and cons. I don't know how to get to that weird end result, you know? How do you get there? You gotta be careful. I've seen people do it. You go to a place, everyone's on the dance floor going full tilt, and everybody else is way over here not dancing at all. The only way to get from here to there is you have to ramp up the percentages. When people decide to dance, they dance just 10% near their table just to get a kick start, you know? It's just like... Basically, they're walking. There's just a little flick at the end of the extremities. Just a little indication that something's about to go down. And then the percentages gradually morph until you hit full China syndrome meltdown. It has to be gradual. You can't not dance at all until you're in the middle.
I'm very anal, and I refuse to dance until I am dead center.
Here we go! Clearly too jarring for everyone concerned. One thing I found out about dance floors, those are the squares on this planet where it is most difficult for me to have a natural smile. You having fun, Brian? I am. I'm enjoying being on this lit up square. I don't know how to do it, man. I don't know how to dance. My body doesn't know what to do. My brain doesn't know what signals to send, you know. All synapses are misfiring. Frankenstein beat me once in a dance contest. So the only way I can get through it is I have to give myself assignments from the back of my head while I'm out there. Hey, move around a little bit. What are you going for, a walk? Head back where you were. You told me to do that. Do something with your arms. You look like you're floating. Put them down. Put them down. That was your suggestion. People say you should move your hips. Move your hips a little bit. Stop that immediately. Stop that immediately. Remember that moment. Don't ever do that again. Red alert. Danger. Will Robinson. I like music, man. That's why I like to go to the airport early, you know? They always play great music. They always have unbelievable sound systems. You get there early, you take advantage of that. You just jam to the best music known to man. Occasionally there is an announcement, but other than that, you're just getting into the music, you know? Yesterday, all my, would the gentleman who left a briefcase at the security area of Concourse C please return to claim your briefcase? And it seems like all unattended vehicles will be towed away at the owner's expense. Oh, I believe there's been a gate change for flight 207. It'll now be departing out of gate 19. Yesterday, I love that song. Takes my mind off traveling. Travel a lot. I'm in a lot of hotels. I think hotels had a secret meeting recently. It was a very short meeting. Everyone flew in and they said, everybody here? All right, very quick. We're not going to own any mistakes anymore. All right, that's it. Head on back. How you doing? This key you gave me, I just tried it in my door. It's not working.
Did you put it next to anything magnetic?
No, you just gave it to me and I just tried it and I just came back. I was expecting a good key and an apology. And I'm holding a bad key and getting an accusation. Is that the way it shakes out these days?
Did you put the key next to anything magnetic?
I am a red horseshoe magnet salesman. Okay. I know what happened now. I remember you gave me that perfectly good key, and I tossed that into my bag of samples. Then I scooped that up all haphazard-like and started swinging everything asunder. I remember hearing zipping and zapping. Was that the key becoming demagnetized? I'm sorry, I owe you an apology. Should I get on my knees and beg for forgiveness? If there's a problem with the reservation, they'll make it your fault every time.
How you doing? I have a reservation for a room. I got up early and I called and confirmed the reservation. And when I got to the airport, our first leg was going to be delayed. So I called from the airport to confirm the reservation. And they put us on a flight that got diverted for mechanical reasons. So I called from that airport to confirm the reservation. And they finally put us on a rickety shuttle bus that ran out of gas like 3 miles from here. I had one bar left on my cell phone. I used it to call you to confirm the reservation. I've been crawling on asphalt and broken glass. I just want to get in my room and get some bandages on my asphalt burns. But fortunately, I have a reservation that I've confirmed a number of times under Regan. Did you by chance make the reservation under another name?
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay. And why would I have done that? Why, sir, would anyone do that? Has anyone ever done that in the history of making hotel reservations? You don't think it's insulting that you're suggesting when name came up, that's when I went off the rails? That's what you're tossing into the air. Somebody on your side said name, and I panicked at that point. I don't know my name. Let's just figure it out when I eventually wander in. Is that your hypothesis of how this went awry? The customer is always wrong. So I have my reply I like to go into now. Did you by chance make the reservation under another name? Check zippity doodah. Sometimes I think my name is zippity doodah, and I mistakenly make my hotel reservation of that. So type it in as two names, zippity doodah. Type it in. Doodah is the last name. I think, oddly, when I'm making hotel reservations. And Zippity is what I incorrectly think my first name is. So type it in as the two names. You don't have that? Try Zip as the first name, Itty as the middle name. Sometimes I think my name is Zip Itty Doodah, and I break it into three words. Even though phonetically, none of them have anything to do with my actual name. When I'm making hotel reservations, I tend to panic, and it's very difficult for me to conjure up what my own name actually is. So I tend to grasp at straws, and I often settle on Zip Itty Doodah. Type it into the computer reservation system. Huh? No, I know there are people waiting, but this is your idea, and I like it. Let's take it to the end. No? No, no, no. You took this horse out of the barn. We're going to ride it, see where it takes us. Now, it's a wonderful suggestion that I might not know my name. You don't have Zippity. Try Yippee-I-Yo-Ki-Yay. Type it in. Yippee-I-Yo-Ki-Yay. Ki-Yay with a K. Try with a C. Try with a K-H. Try with a C-H. Try with a W for some odd reason. Try Yippee-I-Yo-Ki-Yay, spelling Ki-Yay beginning with a W. Type it in. You don't try Yip as the first name, E-I-O, three middle initials. Try Yippee-I-Yo-Ki-Yay. Try all caps. Try Yippee-I-Yo-Ki-Yay. Try Yippee-I-Yo-Ki-Yay. And then somehow magically a room becomes available. You guys are great, man. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much, everybody.
incredibly kind, man. Thank you very, very much. It's an honor. Thank you. Hey, I really appreciate y'all coming out tonight, man. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody here at Radio City. I want to thank everybody from Comedy Central, my management agents, my kids, everything, and you guys especially for coming out. This has meant a lot to me. I hope you guys kind of enjoyed it. Thank you very much. All the best. Good night.